Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. We'll be hearing from some of our MEPs about what's happening in Brussels and Strasbourg. And we'll also have some great music from France and the Netherlands for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme, Europe Today. Irish households continue to spend more on alcohol than the EU average, according to new figures for 2019 from Eurostat. They show that just over 2% of total Irish household expenditure went on alcohol, compared to the EU average of 1.6%. The figure was highest in Latvia at 4.8% and lowest at just under 1% in Greece and Italy. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says the figures for Ireland next year may increase because of the COVID-19 lockdowns.
So this Eurostat report looks at the proportion of household expenditure which is spent on alcohol, which is consumed at home in various member states. So the consumption in Ireland is about a third more than the European average. But these figures come from 2019, so we've yet to see what happens in 2020 during the lockdown.
Irish people are among the healthiest eaters in Europe. A new Eurobarometer survey shows that 81% of Irish people eat a healthy and sustainable diet always or most of the time. The EU average figure is only 66%. Tim Hayes of the EU Commission says Irish people fully understand the benefits of healthy food and protecting the environment.
In the context of the European Union's Farm to Fork strategy, which is part of the European Green Deal, we looked at all the factors which influence people's food buying and eating habits. And we discovered that more than 4 out of 5 Irish people were prepared to spend more money on food, which protects their health and also protects the planet.
Housing costs in Ireland, which include water, electricity, gas and other fuels, are now the highest in Europe at 77% above the EU average. New figures from Eurostat for 2019 reveal that 69% of Irish people own their own home. This is the 7th lowest rate in the European Union and slightly below the EU average of 70%. Tim Hayes of the EU Commission office in Dublin says the figures show that more people here live in houses than apartments.
This report from Eurostat tells us that the number of people in Ireland living in houses is higher than in the rest of the EU. So in Ireland, about 3 out of every 4 live in a house, whereas in the EU generally, it's about half of the people that live in houses. The report also tells us that about 2/3 of the people own their own properties, whereas 1/3 are renting.
The European Consumer Centre in Ireland is warning people to be careful when buying from spurious websites that carry a .ie address. It says a growing number of scam sites from outside the European Union are using .ie as a domain name and misleading consumers. The centre is advising people to check the address and office phone number of the site before making a purchase. Cyril Sullivan of ECC Ireland says consumers are unlikely to get refunds from these scam sites where difficulties arise.
Their options of redress are little or none. They would have to depend on taking action in the third country outside the EU. So it becomes a significant issue for them. So we would advise consumers to avoid at all costs purchasing from unknown traders and from traders with websites that are not secure. So to avoid any disappointment in that regard.
Ireland has the second highest rate of reported discrimination in Europe against the traveller community. The EU Agency for Fundamental Rights says 68% of traveller men and 62% of traveller women experience ongoing discrimination. There is also a significant life expectancy gap of 10 years between travellers and the general population in Ireland. Tim Hayes of the EU Commission office in Ireland says the rate of employment for travellers here is the lowest of all countries surveyed, at just under 20%.
Compared to other countries, Irish travellers are the least likely to have paid work, with less than 1 in 5 in paid employment, compared to 4 out of 5 in employment in the settled community.
More Irish women work in information technology than their European counterparts. New figures from the European Commission show that women across the EU are still less likely to work in the area of IT compared to men. Tim Hayes of the EU representation in Ireland says the figures show that more Irish women are IT specialists than the average for Europe.
We looked at the percentage of specialists in the IT field who were women, and we discovered that all over Europe, about 18% of the specialists were women, but Ireland does a good deal better. In fact, about 21% of the specialists in Ireland are women, and that's a good thing.
Ireland is making slow progress in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. New figures from the European Commission show that since 2005, the European Union has reduced its emissions by 19%. Emissions have now been reduced by 24% compared to 1990 levels. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says the figures for Ireland since 2005 show a decrease of 14%.
The EU is making progress. In fact, for the last 15 years, the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions is 19%. Ireland isn't doing too badly either. For that same period, Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions is down by 14%.
Malgré le temps qui passe, j'espère. Pourquoi je gagne et puis je perds. Comme un enfant à qui l'on raconte une histoire, je dois le croire. Malgré les hauts, les bas, je sais. M'accorder un dernier essai. Je vois la vie me faire un signe. J'ai lutté pour en être digne. Et je crois que tout va bien jusqu'ici. Je fais l'effort et qu'importe à qui les torts, on finit par tomber d'accord. Parfois j'y vais un peu fort, je me méfie de l'eau qui dort. Et si c'était un coup du sort, malgré les doutes, je prends sur moi. Tu sais les coups, je ne les sens pas. Je me relève, je ne tremble pas. Je vis, je vois, ne t'en fais pas. Et je crois que
Fine Gael MEP Colin Markey says the Scottish patrol boat that recently blocked a Donegal fishing vessel from entering waters around Rockall had no right to do so. The skipper of the Northern Celt was told on Monday they couldn't fish within 12 nautical miles of the North Atlantic outcrop because of the recent EU-UK trade deal. Colin Markey is arguing the Scottish didn't have a right to make those instructions.
Ireland never claimed any jurisdiction over Rockall, and indeed it doesn't recognise anyone else claiming jurisdiction over it. Like, if you consider the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea stipulates that an island incapable of sustaining human or economic life cannot be subject to an exclusion zone. It says, rocks which cannot sustain human habitation or economic life of their own shall have no exclusive economic zone or continental shelf. So, like, ultimately, Rockall is a rock and nobody has jurisdiction over it.
Sinn Féin MEP Chris McManus is calling on the government to ensure it secures a sizeable chunk of the EU Brexit Adjustment Fund. The Midlands Northwest MEP says Irish fishing industries will be hugely impacted by the EU-UK trade deal. He's arguing they need to be properly compensated from the €5 billion fund that's been set up to compensate sectors worst affected by the UK's departure from the EU.
The government needs to be making a very strong case that we are the member state that suffers most from Brexit, that we need to be seeking a large percentage of the fund. I wrote to the Commission late last year seeking clarification on how the funding would be distributed. And effectively, the response was wait and see. And my concern is this €5 billion Brexit Adjustment Fund will not be divided in regards to a most need ratio. It'll become a political slush fund for some of the bigger countries like the French that they will try and use to keep certain sectors such as the French fishing community happy. I think the Irish government need to be immediately coming out of the traps, making a very strong case for us to be getting a substantive amount of funding.
Britain's exit from the Brexit transition period will put an end to the free movement of people from the UK into the EU. UK citizens will no longer have the freedom to work, study, start a business or live in the bloc. They will need visas for long-term stays in an EU country. But the UK will also restrict the movement of EU citizens into its territory. However, Ciarán Cough, Green Party MEP for Dublin, says Irish citizens shouldn't be affected by these new restrictions.
My understanding is that Irish citizens will be able to travel at will between Ireland and the UK and reside and work there. But for other EU citizens, after 90 days, they will have to seek permission to remain. So this is a real change in the open access that all 27 member states had into the UK until now.
MEPs in the European Parliament are scrutinising the EU-UK trade deal that was brokered on Christmas Eve. They have to ratify the agreement for it to be fully implemented, but so far no date has been confirmed for a European Parliament vote on it. Sinn Féin MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency Chris McManus says the EU will have to be continually vigilant to ensure the UK adheres to the deal over the coming years.
I don't think the British government have made this agreement in good faith. We've already seen Boris Johnson stating that the fish in British waters will be 100% theirs in 4 years. And obviously, we've seen the developments regarding Rockall. And, you know, the British have already said that they probably will diverge from EU standards at their own will. So while we want the agreement to be bedded in, we have to be very concerned that the far right of the Tory party will be pushing for legislation and decisions to try and break the agreement.
MEPs in the European Parliament have been reacting to the Brexit trade deal that was struck on Christmas Eve. They'll have to ratify the deal with a vote in the European Parliament, but no date has been set for that vote so far. Fine Gael's MEP Deirdre Clune says she's relieved the deal was finally brokered after many months of tough negotiations.
I am relieved a deal has been agreed. I think that is really, really important for Ireland in particular because of our unique location and dependence on the United Kingdom. But there is a sense of relief that we have a deal, that we'd have avoided what would have been a no-deal chaos. And that could have happened if things had slipped and some outstanding issues that we hear about, like fisheries or the level playing field, if that they hadn't been agreed and it was just too big a bridge to cross. Well, I think we would have ended up in a very, very difficult situation.
Fine Gael's Dublin MEP, Frances Fitzgerald, says she's confident the Parliament would vote for the deal.
Parliament will do everything possible to call for a session once the deal is done, translate it, get it through the two committees. And a number of MEPs made the point, and I'm inclined to agree with them, this is not the time for grandstanding. I mean, we've had Michel Barnier representing us. Of course you need parliamentary scrutiny, but let's do it even in the most difficult of circumstances. Let's try and do that in a speedy way if the need arises, because we'd be very glad if we do have a deal to have the opportunity to debate it. Parliament will do everything possible to call for a session once the deal is done, translate it, get it through the two committees. And a number of MEPs made the point, and I'm inclined to agree with them, this is not the time for grandstanding. I mean, we've had Michel Barnier representing us. Of course you need parliamentary scrutiny, but let's do it even in the most difficult of circumstances. Let's try and do that in a speedy way if the need arises, because we'd be very glad if we do have a deal to have the opportunity to debate it.
Recently, European Parliament's MEPs set out Parliament's views on a common approach to fight terrorism and organised crime, child abuse, disinformation and hybrid threats. The non-legislative resolution was adopted with 543 votes in favour, 64 votes against and 82 abstentions. It presents an overview of current security issues as identified by the Commission for the period 2020-2025 in the EU Security Union strategy, including the fight against terrorism and organised crime, child abuse on and offline, disinformation and hybrid threats, migrant smuggling, action against illicit drugs and firearms trafficking. However, Irish MEP Mick Wallace railed against European countries for their hypocrisy when dealing with human rights issues.
This resolution highlights that terrorism aims to threaten democracy in Europe and European values. A lot of our security concerns come from Western destabilisation of countries outside our borders. So if we're really worried about security, why do we keep supporting US imperialism and their endless wars? In 2019, Israeli Defence Forces killed 133 Palestinians. 28 of them were children. Why didn't we stop the association agreement with Israel? Why don't we stop member states from selling arms to Saudi and UAE, who are committing genocide in Yemen? Over 100,000 children have died from that war, and we don't even want to talk about it in here. Why did we support the NATO bombing and destruction of Libya and the displacement of millions that came back to haunt us? The people of Europe want security, all right. They want the security of a home. But in 2018, the EU member states spent 78 billion on housing and over 200 billion on arms and defence, three times more. They want security of housing, affordable healthcare and education. If we want security, we should stop the militarisation of Europe. And I also suggest that the EU comes out more strongly and condemns the war crimes of Abiy Ahmed in Ethiopia, or we'll be looking at hundreds of thousands of more wanting to cross the Mediterranean.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
World leaders have condemned the storming of the US Capitol building in Washington, with many expressing their shock and outrage. Such chaotic scenes might normally be associated with the toppling of a dictator, but this was an attempt by American citizens to stop the peaceful transition of power after a democratic election. One woman was killed after being shot by security, while three others died following medical emergencies. Leaders around the world issued statements or posted on social media during and after the chaos. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said, "I believe in the strength of US institutions and democracy." What happened in Washington yesterday is as appalling as it is outrageous. However, the fact that on the same night Joe Biden was confirmed as the next American president shows how resilient the American democracy is. Joe Biden now has a daunting task ahead of him. He must bring peace and unity. He must bridge deep divides and he must address the big issues of the future, overcoming the pandemic. How to deal with the global economic crisis as a result of this pandemic, how to protect our planet from our climate change, how to advance digitization and, above all, how to strengthen democracy. Europe stands ready to work very closely with the new American president on all these issues. After these four very arid years that we have experienced, we are now looking forward to four fruitful years of dialogue, cooperation and good collaboration. The European Commission has defended its coronavirus vaccination strategy amid growing criticism from member nations about the slow rollout of COVID-19 shots across the region with 450 million inhabitants. Vaccination programmes in the 27 nation bloc have gotten off to a slow start, and some EU members have been quick to blame the EU's executive arm for a perceived failure of delivering the right amount of doses. In Finland, health authorities are reportedly unhappy that the country only received about 40,000 doses in December instead of the 300,000 that were expected. Facing a barrage of questions on vaccines, during a news conference, EU Commission spokesman Eric Mamer said the main problem with the deployment of vaccination programmes is an issue of production capacity, an issue that everybody is facing. As part of a strategy, the EU has sealed six vaccines cost contracts with Moderna, AstraZeneca, Sanofi GSK, Janssen Pharmaceutica NV, Pfizer-BioNTech and CureVac. But only the Pfizer-BioNTech and the Moderna vaccine has been approved for use so far in the 27-nation bloc. Here's EU Commission spokesman Eric Mamer.
The fact is that the role of the Commission has indeed been to lead the negotiations, but always with member states, and that, of course, member states were consulted on the number of doses that they would be interested in, taking into account, and this is what everybody forgets, that when we launched these negotiations, as Stefan was saying yesterday or Monday, there were significant uncertainties when it comes in particular to the technologies that were proposed by certain of these companies, in some cases extremely new technologies like the ones used by BioNTech Pfizer, the production capacity that these companies have, the logistical constraints, the price, et cetera, et cetera. So you had a complex mix of variables that the Commission and the member states together, at a time of significant uncertainty, had to balance out, taking into account as well the budgetary means which were at the disposal of the Commission to finalize these agreements, in order to build the portfolio of vaccines that we currently have. So it's pretty easy to come back afterwards and say, you should have ordered much more, you should have ordered much less, you should have done this and that. The fact is that at the time when all this was being done, we had to do this rapidly in a context of a significant uncertainty, and of course taking into account the wishes of member states. So I think that on the whole, as we have said here in particular on Monday, the portfolio that we have built is actually an extremely impressive portfolio, and it will deliver its results over time.
Zing je nog steeds mee met liedjes van Marco? Tot de buurman klaagt. Rij je nog steeds in die oude Volvo? Ik wil weten hoe het met je gaat en of je ooit nog aan me denkt. Ik mis je. Waar is je ster? Nu wij niet meer praten, nu ik je niet hoor, kan ik niet denken, kan ik niet slapen. Nu wij niet meer praten en jij er niet bent, mis ik de ruzies die ik vroeger haatte. Ik weet het is te laat als ik zeg dat. Nu wij niet meer praten. Oh.
niet slapen, nu wij niet meer praten. Oh, nu wij niet meer praten.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865 8020. That's 865 8020. You can text us on 087 977 1032. That's 087 977 1032. And don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to some of the issues that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM next week at the same time for your programme, Europe Today.